What should I do with my life? We've all asked that question. Usually it's during high school or college. We're facing all kinds of decisions that affect our future careers and our life in the future. But we also ask that question when we have lost a job and are searching for a new one, or when we're approaching retirement. What should I do with the rest of my life? The trouble is, that's the wrong question to ask. We should be asking this question: what does God want me to do with my life? People of faith believe that God created us, and God has a plan and purpose for our lives. We also believe that Jesus purchased our life through His death on the cross. We in faith now belong to Jesus. He is our Lord, the Master of our lives. So it's extremely important that we ask that question: Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? We are not in charge of our own lives. We are not self-directed or self-made people. We don't determine our future. God does. God created us, and God wants to direct our lives. Our task is to find God's will for our lives. Some of you know that William Wilberforce is one of my heroes. He lived in the late 1700s and early 1800s in England. Wilberforce was a very talented young man. He had a brilliant mind and a winning personality. He was a great orator and a born leader. He was elected to Parliament at the earliest possible age. He was only 20 years old. And over the next few years, he rocketed to power in Parliament. His life was filled with socializing and partying. He belonged to many social clubs. And he was part of the upper class, so he had plenty of money to indulge his desires. One summer, Wilberforce decided to take a vacation of several months traveling through Europe. But he needed a traveling companion for the journey. So he invited someone who could match his intellect and who would be entertaining. The man he selected was named Isaac Milner. What Wilberforce didn't know was that Milner was a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Now, over the course of their long journey, they had many discussions on many topics, but one of those topics was the Christian faith. And Milner was a great apologist. He was able to explain the Christian faith in a very clear and compelling way. And at the end of the journey, Wilberforce had become convinced that the Christian faith was the truth. He knew he had to change his life and become a disciple of Jesus Christ. So Wilberforce wrestled with that question: what does God want me to do with my life? He knew he had to stop partying, quit the social clubs that he belonged to, and all the immoral behavior he had indulged in. What he wrestled with the most was his career in politics. We all know that politics can be a dirty business, and that was certainly true in 18th century England. So should he give up politics altogether? Wilberforce decided to consult with a friend of his named John Newton. We know John Newton as the author of the hymn Amazing Grace. He was also an evangelical pastor. So Pastor Newton listened to Wilberforce's story and then offered this advice. Who knows if God hasn't been preparing you for such a time as this? Who knows if God might use you mightily in the world of politics? So Wilberforce took that advice to heart. He wrestled with this question for several years, actually, and prayed about it. Finally, God's will for him became clear. He believed that God was calling him to stay in politics and to work to advance these two goals. The first was the abolishment of the slave trade. And the second was the reformation of manners in England, which we would call social reform. Wilberforce and his Christian friends, through the power of God, accomplished those two goals. It took years and years of work, prayer, dedication, but they accomplished those two goals. It's an amazing story of God working through His people to make the world a better place. Now, without God's call, Wilberforce would have, I believe, wasted his great skills. Now, I'm sure he could have done some good in Parliament, but he would have continued probably to live a very self-indulgent life and achieving nothing compared to what he did accomplish. But with God's call upon his life, William Wilberforce and his circle of devoted Christian friends were literally able to change England and the United Kingdom. In our scripture this morning, we see Jesus calling Simon, James, and John to follow him. These were ordinary fishermen. Now, fishing was a good career. They were able to provide for themselves and for their family. But Jesus called them to help him change the world. And after witnessing the amazing power of Jesus, they left everything and followed him. Wilberforce and his circle of friends were exceptional people, and God enabled them to accomplish great things. Peter, James, and John were pretty ordinary people whom God called to accomplish even greater things. So, whether we're exceptional or ordinary, it doesn't matter. God can use our lives for extraordinary purposes. And what a glorious gift God has given us. He calls each of us here today, to accomplish His kingdom goals. Souls are saved. Lives are transformed. Those imprisoned by addiction are set free. The lost are found. The lonely are brought close to the love of God. The sick are healed. Those in despair are given hope. Those who have never known love are embraced by the love of brothers and sisters in Christ and adopted into God's family. What a great gift God has given us. The gift of His call upon our lives. At an inner city church's Wednesday morning prayer breakfast, a pastor asked those gathered to pray for a woman named Mary. He told the group that Mary's son, Johnny, had been arrested last night, driving under the influence, arrest. He told the believers gathered there that he was going to go and do what he could to help Johnny. "How much do you know about alcoholism?" said one of the men. "What are you going to, where are you going to get the money for bail?" asked another of the men. "We'll go with you. Take this off the prayer list. We can handle it." So the three of them went to the prison, into the dark inner part of the prison, and they saw in the corner of the cell a frightened boy crying. "Son, how long have you had a problem with alcohol?" one of the men asked through the bars.
I wouldn't say I have a problem," said Johnny. "Let me rephrase that. How long have you been lying about your problem?"
"Son, I've learned a lot about booze the hard way. Had that monkey on my back for years, since I was in the army. I can show you the way out."
"We're springing you," said the other man, "and you'll come home with me. Our kids are out of the house, and your mama has got enough on her plate already. I'd love to have somebody to watch Clemson football with."
That is the call of God in action. Would you join me in prayer? What a great privilege you've given us, Lord, to be part of your kingdom work, where you literally change the world one life at a time. Thank you that we can be your presence to other people, that we can share the love of Jesus Christ in practical and powerful ways, that we can give a message of encouragement and hope, that we can share a testimony of what you have done in our lives, we can share the good news with people. What a great gift to be your presence in this world. Give us the power to do it, Lord. The power to respond to your call with all of our heart, with all of our lives. And to do the work that you empower us to do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.